Jayadamadava Kunjabihari. Gopi jana valava girivaradari. Gopi jana valava girivaradari. Yashoda nandana brajajana ranjana Yashoda nandana brajajana ranjana Jamuna tira vanachariyam Jamuna tira vanachariyam Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihariya Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihariya Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari Gopi Jana Vallava Girivara Dari Yashoda nandana brajajana ranjana Yashoda nandana brajajana ranjana Jamuna tira vanachariyam Jamuna tira vanachariyam Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihariyam Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihariya Dava Kunja Vihari
Jayam Vishnupad Paramahamsa Parivajakacharya Astotara Shata Sri Shrimadi Zavan Grace Sabai Charnar Vinda Bhakti Vedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai The Lordship Sri Sri Radha Shyam Sundar Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Krishna Balaram Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Gaunitai Ki Jai. The Lordship Sri Sri Lakshmi Nrisimhadev Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Iskandu Ramanrati Dham Ki Jai. Nitai Gaur Premanande. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the lotus feet of Sri Sri Gurvan Gauranga. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Om Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So today we'll be reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 3, Chapter 21, entitled Conversation Between Manu and Kardama. We're doing two texts, 48 and 49. So text 48 we will do responsively and 49 simultaneously. Ato tajamupayatam mridevam pranatam pura saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandyanurupaya ato tajamupayatam mridevam pranatam pura saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandyanurupaya ato tajamupayatam mridevam pranatam pura saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandyanurupaya. Please chant. Ato tajamupayatam nridevam pranatam puraha saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandyanurupaya ato tajamupayatam nridevam pranatam puraha saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandyanurupaya ato tajamupayatam nridevam pranatam puraha saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandanurupaya. Mutters. Ato tajamupayatam nridevam pranatam puraha saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandanurupaya ato tajamupayatam nirdevam pranatam puraha saparyaya paryagrinat pratinandanurupaya. Ata, then. Utajam, the hermitage. Upayatam, approached. Nridevam, the monarch. Pranatam, bow down. Puraha, in front. Saparyaya, with honor. Paryagrinat, received him. Pratinandya, greeting him. Anurupaya, befitting the king's position. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Translation. Seeing that the monarch had come to his hermitage and was bowing before him, the sage greeted him with benediction and received him with due honor. Purport. Emperor Swayambhuva Manu not only approached the cottage of dried leaves possessed by the hermit Kardama, but also offered respectful obeisances unto him. Similarly, it was the duty of the hermit to offer blessings to kings who used to approach his hermitage in the jungle. And 49, we'll do it together. Grihitarha namasinam samyatam prinayam munihi swaram bhagavada desham ityaha slakshana gira. Translation. After receiving the sage's attention, the king sat down and was silent. Recalling the instructions of the Lord, Kardama then spoke to the king as follows, delighting him with his sweet accents. No purport. Om Jnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yuta Pada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupa Sagrajatam Sahagana Ragunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bandhu Jagatpate Gopisha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namastute Tapta Kanchana Gaurange Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Stute Devi Pranamami Hare Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Srila Virbhava Prabhu Iti Namine Shri Shri Vrindata Vivira Padapad Pankajadayane Prabhupada Nuvadaya Nama Shri Virbhave Namo Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shrimati Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharne Nirvishesha Sunyavani Paschata Deshatarni. Hare Krishna. So, Swayambhuva Manu, he had a very qualified daughter, Devahuti. Very, very qualified. Not only in material opulence, Swayambhuva Manu was not only the emperor of this planet, but of the entire universe. So we can imagine how opulent he must have been. And his daughter, the princess, what opulent circumstances she is brought up in. So much opulence that you can't imagine. Just a few years ago, the Saudi king came to visit the United States. And they had a special hotel that they renovated. They spent $13 million to renovate this hotel. And upon preliminary inspections, the king spent another $1 million to put royal carpeting. And this hotel had 122 rooms. Then he had other facilities around for his ministers and his entourage. And because he only came to spend 7 days, he brought only 22 of his presidential limousines over and 100 drivers. The president for the United States, he has 4 presidential limousines. So this just gives an idea. Even nowadays, they have so much opulence. Imagine Swayambhuva Manu, how much opulence he must have had. So his daughter, Devahuti, was very qualified, not only in material opulences and intelligence, but with self-control and enough intellectual capacity that can allow her to be in any situation and carry on her life throughout. So in the Vedic culture, there are many women that are stated in our scriptures who are extremely qualified in that way and live their lives against the odds of society, of criticism and comments that would attack one's pride. Some examples are Srimati Radharani herself, that she was criticized by her in-laws and society that she was unchaste, that she's married and she has a lover. So one day there's a sage who came and had to do something important for the society. So he said the only way this can be successful is that the best of chaste women has to take this pot that's filled with holes, go to the river and bring back a pot of water. So many people tried, Kutila and Jatila, and a lot of them tried and all failed, and then they turned to Radharani. So she said, no, that everyone is criticizing me, that I'm unchaste, that why should I try? But when everything else failed, they convinced her, and she went and she was able to bring the pot filled up with holes and filled with water, prove her level of chastity. Then you have Queen Kunti herself, who pretty sure there were criticism in the society, just like way back up in Treta Yuga. There were criticisms and comments about Lord Rama and Sita Devi, that though Sita spent some time in the company and in the place of another man, and Ram took her back, therefore he's henpecked. And there were comments, and that was back in Treta Yuga when people were perfect. At least compared to now. They were so perfect, so had so much knowledge, couldn't understand time, place, and circumstances much more than we can today. So Queen Kunti, we all know her situation. She made babies for different men, for different demigods, because of a certain circumstance. And of course, before her marriage, she had Karna, but no one had knew of that for the time being. But I'm pretty sure, even though it's not mentioned someplace, I'm pretty sure there were comments that, oh, you know, she's like this, she's like that. Then Draupadi, unheard of. You know, I'm pretty sure there were so many comments were there that she living with 5 husbands. Very unheard of, even though Krishna personally was there to explain. Initially, there were objections. Her family objected, even though Krishna explained her special circumstances. Another example is Gandhari, the best of chaste woman, again. When she heard that her husband-to-be is blind, despite this so much comments and so much objections from her family members, she decided that no, she's going to go with it, that this is her assignment, this is her allotment. And not only that, but she would accept voluntary blindness. Of course, nowadays we would think, well, okay, my husband is blind, at least let me see and we can guide. But she took things on a different level, on a higher level, that no, if my husband can't see the world, then I can't see the world as well. So So that's all qualified and CSDR. So here is a situation where we have, and of course, yesterday was Shivratri. We must have heard the story of Sati. Again, very chaste and very qualified. Sati, the daughter of Daksha, her grandfather is Lord Brahma himself, King Daksha, so many opulences, and she sacrificed all of that and came and become the wife of Lord Shiva, who lives in the crematorium, who has nothing, who, what we say to today's description, lives like a bomb. And so she had that intelligence and understanding that despite that, and her father criticized, her father objected, so much criticism. And what she did, instead of giving up her husband, she gave up her father. She gave up this body that her father produced for her. So that's how qualified they were, that we're able to do such a thing. So similarly here, Devahuti, such an opulent princess, the best of everything. And what did Kardam Muni do? Her father, Swayambhuva Manu, as his duty, he's searching for a very qualified husband for his daughter. In Vedic culture, it's always the case where one chooses a more qualified husband than a wife. The husband being more qualified makes the situation very pleasant. That's why you don't find that Brahmin woman marrying Kshatriya or Vaishya ladies. Men, it's always the opposite. They would always marry something that would bring society to a higher level. So that's a Vedic injunction, except for very awkward circumstances, like what's her name, Sarmista and Sukracharya. That story. So anyway, so Devahuti in this case, very very qualified, very advanced person. When her father chooses Kardam Muni to be her husband, she did not object. She accepted. And she immediately gave up all her royalty. Actually, on purpose, I did several research on this. And every research says that Devahuti not once in her life ever mentioned her royal parentage when she got married. She never, ever, ever. So such a dedication. And change from riches to rags. In this world, we always like to hear stories of people changing from rags to riches. But in the Vedic culture, we have qualified people changing from riches to rags. Chaitanya Charitamrita, Sanatan Goswami, Rupa Goswami, they were ministers in the Nawab Hussain Shah's empire. So much wealth they had, filling boats. And they gave all of that up to live as mendicants under trees and guide the world from there. Then you have people like Raghunath Das Goswami, another example. He was the son of a very opulent king. He gave that up. Narottam Das Thakur, the son of King Krishnananda, gave everything up to live as mendicant to for a higher purpose. We also have ladies, Mirabai. She was married to the Muslim king. She gave all of that up. Ganga Devi Swamini, that's also mentioned, that she was also the daughter of a king. She gave all of that up, and she lived as a mendicant there in the Jagannath Puri area. So much so that Lord Jagannath himself created an underground tunnel to bring the Ganga water to where she was so that she can take her daily bath. So all these are examples of very qualified women and qualified people who change from riches to rags for a higher purpose, as we say in today's society. So, in this, our verses today, this setting the scene, our verse today, is where Swayambhuva Manu is approaching the hermitage of Kardama Muni, Swayambhuva Manu with his wife Satarupa and his daughter Devahuti. Approaching the hermitage of Kardama Muni. So it wasn't unusual for kings to visit the hermitages of these sages. It's usual to take blessings and so forth. But in this case, it was a special circumstance that he was approaching Kardama Muni. Out of all men in the universe, what he had access to, he's choosing Kardama Muni to take the hand of his very opulent daughter. So that's where we're at today in today's verse. So he came on a special mission. So in those days, the way the kingdom used to be ruled is that the king would rule, being Kshatriyas, they would rule on the basis of the guidance of the Brahmanas. So the Brahmanas used to live in the kingdom. They were ministers, they were advisors, they were guides. They would take up different roles in the kingdom. Some would be the minister of finance, some would give advice on spiritual knowledge, some would give different guidance. But they would all live in the kingdom and be there in that atmosphere, guiding the king to rule the kingdom properly. So that was the standard. The king would take advice from them, he would consult with the brahmanas and take guidance and rule the kingdom accordingly. However, when the king needs real spiritual knowledge, what does he do? He goes to the forest and seek the blessings of the sages. So here is one circumstance. This is what is described in this purport, Srila Prabhupada saying that it's not unusual, it's normal that the kings would come to visit the sages in their ashrams. And then, in here, it's stated that the king not only came to visit this very opulent, he's the emperor of the entire universe, and he came to this hermitage of leaves, dry leaves, to visit. And what he did, he didn't only came to greet the king, but he offered his obeisances. So in this verse, there are two particular words that are of great importance. Sapariyaya, mean with due honor, and anarupaya, befitting the king's position. So satarupaya, sapariyaya, sorry, is saying that the king not only offering obeisances, but he offer with due honor. So there are two things that exist. One is respect, and the other is due respect. Like we offer respect to everyone. You know, like in the morning when devotee come in the temple room, you know, we would at least within our heart, you know, we offer some respect. Devotees are coming in, greeting the Vaishnavas. But this morning when the sannyasi came in, Damodar Vrata Maharaj, everyone went down to the ground and we offer obeisances. So that is called due respect for one's position. So here, Swayambhuva Manu, he's offering this due respect and honor to the sage because he understands that the sage is the representative of the Lord in terms of spiritual guidance. So he is not an ordinary person with all he appears to be just ordinary and living this life. Like later on here you'd find that he is wearing just rags, his body isn't as clean, and so forth. So from an outward presentation, it appears to be a little awkward. But spiritually speaking, the highest level of qualification, what civilized men look for, he had all the qualification. And therefore, he's respected in that way. And in reciprocation, Kardama Muni is honoring the king, respecting the king. Because in the Vedic times, the king is called Naradeva. That they're representing the Lord in guiding the citizens. So they are also a representative of the Lord. So therefore, they are deserving of the highest respect. So this relationship is there. This reciprocal relationship throughout the Vedic culture, throughout the Bhagavatam, throughout all our Vedic scriptures, we find this one common thing is there. Relationship and respect for each other. Even Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Maharaj, he also mentioned like this. He said, in this world of Maya, world of illusion, averse to the Lord, only patience, humility, and respect for others are our friends of Hari Bhajan. And it went down more there, other stuff, but it's not applicable to the class. But this is there, that respect for others. So this relationship is there. So these sages, unlike the brahmanas who would live in the kingdom, living in the opulent circumstances, they are also important. They are guiding the kings. They are guiding the society. But the sages, they live out in the forest among other sages, and they live in a very humble circumstances and practice purely spiritual life, 100%. They engage in devotional service. They perform the daily yajnas. They don't hesitate to take their bath in the coldest of winter months, perform all their sacrifices, chanting their mantras, meditating on the lotus feet of the Lord. So that's their position, and they practice that their entire life. And by so practicing, they are able to guide society, because the kings who understand this culture and the people in general would come from time to time to seek their guidance and their blessings. And like that, society is being maintained. Just like here, this Krishna consciousness movement, a typical example here in the Lachuo, we have this devotee community. And whether one accepts it or not, it is a fact that our devotee community is responsible for a lot of the peace in this Alachua area. There's no doubt about it. Some years ago, we went to the Ratayatra in Daytona Beach, and the mayor and the commissioner, they came up to us while we had this inauguration program, and they mentioned publicly that Daytona Beach is this place of all noise and arrogance and sport and whatever. But you, Hare Krishnas, came here and turned the table around, that you create an atmosphere of peace and tranquility that we recognize from the bottom of our hearts. We are not saying that just to make you feel good, but it's actual fact. They have traced it, and they didn't say it on the first year when we went there. They said it after about 7 years of we going there, that they recognized that trend, and they had to mention. So this is the advantage of saintly life in society. So these sages were like that. They were very saintly, very highly qualified, and they keep their peace, so to speak, by living in the jungles, carry on very peacefully, very nicely, and they were able to guide. Once in a while, they may come to visit the kingdom. It's not unusual. And whenever they come to visit, they generally don't come to ask for something. They come to give. Yeah, because they were almost like as qualified as the Lord, they can see past, present, and future. Like when Durvasa Muni came to visit Kunti when she was a little girl, she came to her father's place. He didn't come there for any purpose other than to give Kunti that benediction. That's what he came for. In the guise of coming to visit the king, coming to visit the kingdom. But he came to give that benediction because he knew what would happen in the future. And Kunti has to be instrumental to bring about powerful, qualified sons like the Pandavas to create peace on earth. So like that. And there are also other many, many circumstances where they would come. And so they would live very peacefully. And they would go out in society once in a while, or society would come to them for guidance and spiritual practice. So like our Krishna consciousness movement, we don't go anywhere else for the morning programs. You know, we don't go to the beach club, or we don't go to the any other club or so for, you know, for our guidance, but we come to the temple. So we come to the temple, associate, get our strength, but what we do after that? We go out in the outside world and we share that. We share in terms of Sankirtan, Harinam, so many other aspects of different preaching work, or sometimes some of us, like myself, you know, we just work out there, but we try to keep ourselves like devotees and keep our demeanor in such a way that when people see us, they are forced to question. Many of the times that I end up having discussions with others is not because I approach them, but they approach me that, oh, there's something different about you. What is this? What is this strange necklace you have? Or why are you looking like this? You know, like that. And then we start discussing. Yeah, and sometimes they would start bringing up, you know, like different questions. I remember once in Miami, I was doing some customer service, and I went to a home, and this person, he was the professor of English and logic at the University of Miami at the time. So when we went there, we started discussing what I was there for, and he switched the conversation. He said, there's something different about you. You know, what is it? And we started talking. And then he started explaining, well, he's this professor of English and logic at the University of Miami. And he started explaining some of his logic, what he was, you know, what he's teaching to his students. And then I asked him, have you ever read any of Prabhupada's books? Do you know who Srila Prabhupada is? He said, of course, and he pointed to his shelf. Then that's when I looked up, and all the books that we have at the time, he had it up there. And he said that's what he's reading, and that's how he's lecturing. Of course, it became contentious because he was saying some things a little awkward. And even though I got on his case and I got angry at him, I said, you know, I must say that you're teaching logic in university, but I must have to tell you that to some extent you're logically backwards. But he didn't take it in a bad way because, you know, we made it up, we discussed. So anyway, that was one circumstance. There are many other times that people approach and they're thinking, well, you're different. So like that, society has to have this balance. You know, some of us, devotees, the sages, whoever, their presence in society is extremely important to keep the balance. And we have to try daily, to the best of our abilities, to be qualified so that others can get the benefit. Of course, we get benefit first off. But others get the benefit also. And when we follow the scriptures, we take guidance, we actually imbibe the qualities of the Lord, like around the same area of the Bhagavatam and near surrounding chapters, is also described that just like in Bhagavad Gita, it says, yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bharati bharata, you know, that the Lord appears whenever there's a decline in religious practice, and he came to establish Paritranaya Sadhunam Vinayasaya Chaduskritam. Like that, he said that these kings and these sages and devotees are in the same category. Whenever this need arises, devotees would come. The Lord would send devotees in this way. So, not with any pride about ourselves, but we can understand that this Krishna consciousness movement didn't appear here for no reason. Out of all places, we don't have a beautiful temple and a sanctified atmosphere here for no reason. It is a direct arrangement by the Lord. And we are fortunate to be part of that arrangement, being as members of this organization. We are very fortunate to be part of that. So therefore, we have a responsibility to take that challenge, to take up that challenge. We all have that responsibility to do something for our own lives and for the community around us. Like Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, that anyone who is initiated into this movement, and when he say initiate, he doesn't mean that take physical initiation. It means get in touch, initial touch with this organization, this movement, Lord Chaitanya's movement, that there are three obligations that automatically develops. One, we have the responsibility to practice spiritual life. No one can do that for us. We have to do that ourselves. We have to practice. Two, we have the responsibility to take care of our surroundings, our immediate surroundings, wife, children, so forth, subjects. We have the responsibility to do that. And three, we have the responsibility to do something for Lord Chaitanya's movement, being eternally obligated by being exposed to his teachings. We automatically become obligated. So we have that responsibility to do something. So like that, our lives can be successful, our atmosphere can be successful, excuse me, and others around us can get the benefit by just practicing, we ourselves practicing. Whether one is living like a hermit or one is living in opulence, whatever the case might be. But we should keep our lives in such a way that we benefit and others benefit as well. So these are some points, a few points I had on this topic. If anyone has any questions or comments, corrections, criticisms, anything? So, okay, thank you so much. So anyway, seeing that there are no questions, we can end here. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai.